Now we are back with Nancy Pearl, who has some book suggestions, perhaps a little light reading for the weekend. It's going to be nice weather, as we heard from Nick Bond. So, you know, you could be up in the mountains where it'll be a little warmer reading on a mountainside.
Absolutely.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Steve.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Nice Seattle Channel vest you have on.
Thank
there.
You.
Do you have one of those, too?
No.
I have a rain jacket.
Marcy got a rain jacket. Do I think that was fair? No.
Yeah.
But I love my vest. It's quite old now.
You still... TV people. You get all the perks. What are you reading?
I have to tell you, I read one of the best mysteries that I read in such a long time.
Really?
It's the second in a series. I started with this one, which is called Countdown City by Ben H. Winters. The first one is called The Last Policeman. And the whole shtick of this is it's set in Durham, New Hampshire, and the world is going to come to an end in now, let's see, at the time of Countdown City, 77 days. So about 3 months. Because it's going to be, an asteroid is going to collide with it, with the Earth. And it's sure, I mean, the scientists are absolutely sure this is what's going to happen. And the main character is a young man named Hank Pallas, who has just become a detective on the Durham Police Force when this big news breaks. And his dilemma is, what do you do in a situation like that? Do you protect the lives of the citizens for the little time that they have left? Meanwhile, everything has changed. People are voluntarily killing themselves because they know it's going to come anyway, and who knows what that suffering is going to be like. People are dropping out of their marriages and their jobs and their lives and going to, like, Bali and, you know, climbing Mount Everest, doing whatever, because they know this is their last chance. And here's this young man who is very principled and just a marvelous, marvelous character. So Countdown City is the one, even though it's the second, there's only going to be three, as I understand it.
Yeah, because the world will be gone.
Right. And who knows what's going to happen. I know that Ben Winters is working on the third one, even as we're talking.
That's a wonderful premise.
This is a book that when I started reading it, and I had not, I just want to emphasize, I had not read the first one. So you don't really need to be in with the first one, but you'll want to go back.
Are you going to go back?
I did go back already.
Oh, you did?
You know, I don't own a lot of books. I don't keep a lot of books because I always figure the library's there, the bookstores are there. But these two are books that I've kept.
Really?
Yes, because I can see going back to them, and partly also because I know they've already been optioned for film. So you could just tell by reading this. I mean, it would make a terrific, terrific movie.
Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah.
Because of the dilemma, the moral dilemma the main character is placed in.
That's right.
That's very cool.
And a name like Hank Pallas. And he has a sister who's kind of a ne'er-do-well that he has to discuss, he has to find, you know, has to help first locate and then try to help. And, you know, with the world in that position, you really have to ask yourself, what would you do? How would you respond to that?
Would you keep reading?
Would you keep reading? Would I keep reading? Probably that's up pretty about all I would do.
I think I'd be going to Bali.
Well,
if I could get there.
If you could get there, right.
Because everybody's going.
Yeah.
I guess I could just go out to Eastern Oregon. That'd be fine, too.
That would be nice.
That'd be fine.
Yes.
That's something. That's a great premise.
It is.
And a good writer, you're saying.
And a very good writer. And you know, the thing that matters most to me in books is how the book is written. I mean, plots are not that... The specifics of the plots are totally unimportant, but also the plot, it doesn't have to have this, you know, sis, boom, ba, bang plot to make me keep reading. It has to be the language.
So Countdown City, Ben H. Winters, The Last Policeman, if you want to start with the first one.
Both in trade paperback, original trade paperback publications, which makes so much sense these days not to have, because hardbacks, the price points are so high these days that it makes me wonder why publishers are not bringing out almost everything in trade paperback.
This is a hardcover,
and I think no matter how good Joan Silber's Fools is, that very few people are going to spend the money for a hardback. This is a much better book. This would have been a much better book in trade paper.
Because people would have got. Now, what do you like about this book? Fools
by Joan Silber. She is one of the best writers of the best pure writers. This is a series of linked short stories, and it begins at the turn of the early years of the 20th century up until the present. So begins with this young couple in New York who are anarchists, and they are among the group fighting to prevent the killings of Sacco and Vanzetti, who are, of course, on death row at that time. And then the other stories, the other little novellas, short novellas, really carry on from those two characters, their children, friends of theirs whom we've met in that first section. But what makes this book so wonderful is the way Joan Silber can put words together to make you kind of stop and think about how she said it. Not even so much what she said, but the way that she said what she said. And it's so wonderful for me to run across a book like that. So this is a very quiet book. It's not a book I think it's a book for people who are interested in reading the award winners, even though this clearly is not going to win a major award this year. But it's the kind of book that should win a major award this year.
Linking short stories
big
is
thing.
Tricky. Yeah, it is a big thing.
Big
yeah, thing. I read another somebody recently who had done the same thing.
Yeah.
Nathan, I can't remember now. But it is a big thing, but it's tricky, right? It's hard to sort of think about how you're going to link these stories in a way that are both unlinked and linked.
You know, people are doing that. People are writing series in which the major character in one of the books is a minor character in the next book. Tana French does that, for example. But there are a lot of writers who are kind of playing with that, a character moving through it as a somebody that you can always look back on. And here you can look back on these original, you know, these young bohemians in New York and in the 20s and the early 30s sort of propounding their version of anarchism. And how many times have you read a book with an anarchist as a major character? I mean, Ursula Le Guin, my favorite book of hers, not Left Hand of Darkness, but the other major one. He's an anarchist, the major character.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not remembering.
It's so terrible.
Because
I love that book.
All right.
The Dispossessed.
Dispossessed. Whew. Thank you. Whew. Marcy was almost there. I saw that. Joan Silber, Fools, and Countdown City, Ben H. What was his last name?
Winters.
Winters. I just have to make it. People told me I had to say them more often, so I'm doing that. Countdown City, Ben H. Winters, Joan Silber, Fools. We were asking people to tweet us, hashtag reading list, what they're reading. Just finished Machiavelli's The Prince. What's next, Art of Seduction or 48 Laws of Power? That's from Travis. You read any of those books?
Well, I read The Prince, but not the other two.
Well,
gosh, I would go back and the direction I would go, because, again, the subject is interesting to me, but it's the historical presence that's so interesting.
All right.
That I would go to other books set in 15th century Florence, that whole political time and place.
I'm going with you on that.
Okay.
All right, Nancy Pearl, thank you.
You're welcome,
Steve. That was fun, as always.